Okay, back with you in another hour of open lines. Those of you on hold, I'll get right to you. Some of you have been on hold for an hour, so you'll be the first ones up when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. As promised, let's go to those who have been on hold the longest. Randy is in Wyoming, first-time caller. Randy, thank you. You've been waiting a long time.
Thank you, George. I've been wanting to talk to you for 13 years.
Well, great. I'm glad you finally got in.
I've been listening all the time. And before that, Art, I sure miss him.
He's out there somewhere.
Yeah, but he's not on the show anymore.
No,
you are, and you're just as good.
Thank you, sir.
As far as I'm concerned.
Different.
And you have great people working for you. But mine's about, I went up in the Bighorns, and I seen some Bigfoot up there.
Mm-hmm.
I seen a couple in a cave, and I took a picture. And then when I got home, got the picture developed about a 12 by 16, and there was just Sasquatch all over it.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we see that? How do we get a copy of this?
I put it on the internet, but there's things in it. I want to talk to somebody before I put it on there because it might not be suitable for all people to see.
Okay, understand.
No, so I've been trying to get somebody to call me because I don't have internet or no way to get on it.
But oh, we gotta get you on the internet. I could have Lex or Sean get a hold of you, my webmasters, and talk you through it.
There's piles of skulls in this picture.
Like human skulls or Bigfoot skulls?
No, these are Bigfoot.
Wow.
And it's like the pile goes up the side of the hill, and it's about maybe, it looks to me to be like 3 feet high.
What did you stumble across, like a Bigfoot graveyard?
I think so, and I think there's Bigfoot in there, and they're doing stuff to each other, you know?
Yeah.
And it just didn't look good, you know?
Gosh, Randy, we gotta stay in touch. Can I put you on hold?
Yes, I'd love to talk to you.
Okay, let's do that. I'm gonna put you on hold. Tom, get his information for us, and we'll figure out how to get these pictures. I mean, that would be just amazing, amazing. Okay, next up, we go to Bradenton, Florida. Jim's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
How you doing, sir?
Great.
I'd just like to say that if you're not a Coast Insider, you've got to become one, because that's the most awesome thing. And I love the Beyond Belief. I just signed up for that.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you do. It's so many episodes you can go back and look. Jim, how do you watch it? Do you put it up on your flat screen?
Oh, no. I do all my Coast to Coast through my iPad. And when I want to watch the Beyond Belief, I throw it up on mirroring with the iPad on ITV, whatever you call it.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I put it up on the big TV screen.
Yeah, it's perfect that way. There's an episode there, I'm without my mustache because I cut it off by mistake.
So, I know you said that.
Yeah,
so I have a big old beard, so I'm not worried about it. It grows back. It's okay.
It does. It already did.
Yeah, that's good. I was just going to say, the thing I want to call you about, you said something about UFOs. I was in Desert Storm, and I was sheepdogging a tank battalion,
mm-hmm.
and there was a big old happy saucer up in the sky.
Oh, really?
Under 1,000 feet, like right there, bigger than life. You can throw a rock at it or shoot it and hit it, no problem. And the main tank commanders, there's like three of them, they called in and went, hey, what's that? And they got a call back that said, shut up, there's nothing there. They're like, no, it's right there. I can throw a rock and hit it, a baseball. And they're like, no, it's not there. And they were told to shut the heck up and do not report this, and nothing was there, and you're hallucinating, and shut up.
Jeez.
Maybe your mission, don't look up. And tell everybody else to shut up.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what I said. So much for, no, there's no such thing as UFOs, right?
No, they don't exist.
Yeah, we're calling it in. Hey, we have something up here, but it's okay. But, you know, what do you do?
I love it. Hey, Jim, you have a great Christmas with your family.
You too. George, I just want to say, You know what I think is awesome about the Beyond Belief show?
What's that?
Remember back in the 70s? I'm 46 now. I was born in 69, but like the Ted Koppel days and when they used to have sit-down interviews, mm-hmm. they bring a person in. That's what you were doing. I was like, oh, my God, that is so cool. You know?
Yep.
They had the, you had the sit-down interview like they used to do, you know? No one was running around in the background. We didn't have to have explosions or anything. Just someone sat down and said, hey, what do you think about this? Okay, that's what I think about this. Okay. And you talk back and forth. That was great. I loved it. It reminded me so much of the old days. But that's how you have to do it, though, when you do an interview.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you like the show, Jim.
I do, sir. And by the way, I lied about the gym. This is Lauren from Bradenton.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Why'd you lie about your name? And now he's gone. You can call yourself anything you want when you call, because I won't really know. I don't think. Steve is in Bremerton, Washington, then. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling. Go ahead. Hi there.
In 2003, my mother was dying of cancer. My wife and my daughter were taking care of her, and I wasn't able to cook a meal that night, and I decided to go to a restaurant. I got about 150, 200 feet away from the house, and I felt like I was going to pass out.
Uh-oh.
I turned the car around, went back home, laid down after taking two aspirin, and within about an hour or so of going to sleep, I felt myself going.
Like you were dying?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And next thing I knew, I was looking down at myself, and I felt a hand on my shoulder. And I turned around, and he says, don't bother. He's gone. I said, no, he can't be. I reached down and shook myself, and I physically remember grabbing my own hand who was standing over me when I woke up. The next night, my wife called and said, well, we have to take Mom to the hospital. I said, I'll be up in a few minutes. I left, and during the conversation, I told my daughter about it, and my mom and I had the same doctor. My wife and my daughter went out and talked to the doctor, and he came in and looked at me. He said, you're going down to emergency. 19 hours later, they finally figured out what the problem was. They took fibrograms, spinal taps, just about everything you could do, CAT scans, couldn't find it. My wife called in a vascular surgeon, so she worked out at the doctor's clinic,
mm-hmm.
and he came in, did a few tests, couldn't find it. They finally put a probe up in my leg, in my groin, and they found it. It was 6 inches of carotid artery had blown out.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was bleeding. The carotid artery runs in a sheath. And blood was flowing into the sheath, shutting off the flow of blood.
Oh, my. You should have been dead, Steve.
Well, that's what the doctor said. 12 days later, I walked out of the hospital.
And you're still kicking.
Well, I was still, that was in 2003, yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. Stay alive there, Stephen. Stay alive. Tom, you got a text for us.
From Karen in Nampa, Idaho. I'm thinking of going to a psychic for the first time. I know you have them on from time to time, and I was wondering what I should look for when picking one.
Don't give them information, first of all. Let them try to tell you about you or about what you want. Some psychics that aren't the real deal will try to squeeze things out of you and then use it later on in the conversation, in the psychic reading, and trick you. So don't go in there talking a lot. Hey, hi, how are you? Oh, how many kids do you have? Don't do any of that.
What about an astronomical price? Wouldn't that figure in?
I think if somebody charges an outrageous price for a psychic reading, you should walk out the door.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You really, you know, what is nominal? I don't know. But what is astronomical? You'll know it when you get there.
I think you're right.
You know, there have been some psychics that I've bounced off the air who aren't with us anymore. They've passed on, who charged, I think, ludicrous high prices.
It's interesting. I know psychics that are unbelievably high and then ones that are like normal, what we would think is a normal
price. Or some who almost do it for free.
It's crazy. That's the ones I would trust, the ones that have the lower price.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody needs to make a living, and if they're psychics for a living, I can understand charging something. But the person who is almost at no cost, that's the person who I think is devoted to trying to help people.
Yeah, you'll know.
Okay, next up, let's go to Mickey in Kentucky. Welcome to the program. Hi, Mickey.
Hello, George. First off, I'd like to say thank you. You've opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. I've got my Patriot supplies. I've got my CC radio.
You're ready.
I'm getting ready, and we've ordered enough. There's three in the household, and we've got enough for 3 months for three of us, and I just want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And open my eyes to some of that.
I hope you never have to use it, Mickey, but if you do, at least you have it.
Right, right. That's my hope, too.
Yep.
What I wanted to talk to you about, in 2013, I drive a truck for a living. My wife and I drive a truck together. I drive at night, and she drives during the day. And I was riding along, and about 11 o'clock at night, I kept getting something in my peripheral vision. And every time I would snap to look at it, I would just get this terrible, ungodly feeling. And this went on for about 5 hours, and it was really, really upsetting me. And I woke my wife up and was telling her about it. And she said, well, I really don't know what to tell you. And it was happening while she was sitting there. And about an hour after that, they called me and told me my father had died in his sleep.
Oh, my gosh.
While that was happening. And I kind of felt like my father was trying to get in touch with me before he died.
I bet he was.
And he just couldn't make that connection. But it was just, it was the oddest feeling I'd ever had in my life of just looking over, and then this terrible down would come over me that something was just terribly, terribly wrong. And
yeah.
I figure it out. And like I said, you know, he died in his sleep that later on that morning.
Subsequently, Mickey, have you felt like you've had a connection with him?
Yes, yes, I have. I feel like sometimes when I'm in a down mood or I just kind of feel like I get a pat on the back. Like, it's going to be okay. Just hang in there. Everything's going to be fine. And then pretty soon I'm feeling pretty good again.
Dad's doing what he's supposed to do, isn't he?
Right, right. And like I said, it's just a feeling that I don't even know how to explain. And it was really, really strange. And I've never really been a big believer, but that kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things and made me say, step back and say, well, maybe there's something really out there, you know.
I love that story. Mickey, thanks. You have a good Christmas if we don't talk to you before that. During our holiday season, by the way, we're going to have some very interactive programs with you. I think it's just so important that all of us stay in touch with each other and keep the lines open and do some open lines and chats, even during the holiday season. So we're going to be doing that. These are tough times, folks. These are trying times, and as I've said all along, we are in it together. And as I've always said over the last several years, that I felt and people felt something strange, they feel it, they're not acting right, and I think we're in that now. I think I can honestly say that the episodes that have been occurring worldwide are probably what we have been picking up over the last couple of years. And they're starting now to reach a crescendo. And sadly, there's going to be more of this until we get to the root cause and finish it and eliminate it once and for all. And I am a staunch proponent in eliminating this in a big, big way. I'm going to talk more about that in the weeks to come. But I've got my own ideas on what I think we need to do. We'll unleash it. By the way, did anybody hear Donald Trump with Alex Jones? Alex did a great job interviewing Trump and asked him some really interesting, tough questions. Trump held his own. And Trump's pulling away again. He is. Even though we've got our psychics and our predictors, like John Hoag, predicting Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush, It's going to be an interesting race indeed. Let's go next to Andrew in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hey, Andrew, thanks for calling.
Hi, George. I had the privilege to speak with you a couple of weeks ago. I work over by the mall in Eden Prairie.
And, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's great to be able to speak with you again, and it's an honor to be able to speak worldwide. It's a little nerve-wracking, but it's always a pleasure. So,
sure thing.
Even more of a pleasure to listen to this great show.
Thank you.
So I wanted to start off by thanking you from one vet to another that for serving. I was an Iraq war vet.
Whoa, you thank you. I didn't see any combat action. You're the one I should be thanking.
Well, it was what you put on for Veterans Day was awesome, and we all of us veterans out there appreciated that very much.
Thank you.
My dad served on the Kitty Hawk in the 80s. I know you were in the Navy, so that's why I thought I'd
yeah.
in there. And also I wanted to thank you for making me and all of your other listeners feel welcome, and by not cutting us off, you know, when we're sharing something with you. I was very nervous calling my first time a couple weeks ago, and you made me feel very welcome, like I was at home, and I wanted to tell you thank you for that. But the story I'm getting at, I've been waiting to share this for many of years, and what I saw, I'm not sure if this was some type of ghost, alien, or energy, but here's my story.
All right.
And this happened back when I was 17, shortly before I joined the service, and it was year 2000. It was on a Memorial Day weekend, and I was camping, and it had been raining throughout the day, and most of the weekend, and my tent flooded, and I was with my girlfriend at the time, and my mom gave me and her permission that we could sleep in my car, and which was parked in the ditch at a campsite in Shittek, Wisconsin, and so the front of my car was kind of facing towards the road, so we were kind of leaning back, and so when we saw at first I thought it was a flashlight coming towards the back window, and I'm like, oh, okay, here's my mom just coming to check on us.
It was
dark out at that point, and we saw the beam of light coming towards the rear window, and then it ended up passing by the car, and there was a three-way intersection right where I was parked, and when it went under the street light, it revealed there was nothing behind this light. There was nothing behind it. It was just a beam of light.
Uh-oh.
Just nothing creating this light, because it went under a street light at the three-way intersection where there was a stop sign. And this was, you know, in a wooded area, and there was literally nothing behind it. The way it was moving, it was about 3 feet off the ground. And it looked like at first, you know, before it went under the street light, that it could have been like, you know, on a motorcycle or like a bicycle.
Yeah.
But there was no noise, and there was, like I said, there was nothing behind this light beam. And, my girlfriend at the time started crying and asked me, what is this thing? And then it went down. There was a road that went down to a boat launch, to the lake. And when it went down into the woods, down the boat launch trail, and, it lit up the entire forest. I kid you not, it looked like somebody took the light down there and spun it like a million miles per hour.
What do you think it was?
I've been trying to figure that out for the last, it's been the last 14 years or whatever. It's been 15 years. I think about it every Memorial Day weekend, and sometimes I wonder if I have enough guts to go back down there and just sit there for the night.
Like, take,
I've always thought about going down there on a Memorial Day weekend, just to see if, you know, I see it again, and it looked like a strobe light went off when it was in the window.
Well, and it sounds like it was under some kind of intelligent control. That's what's so incredible. Got to take this break. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with final phone calls. Well, it's time for our shout-out. Those of you who have been listening to Coast and supporting us all these years on your favorite radio stations across North America, thank you so much. Coast Insiders, thank you for everything you're doing. And, of course, everybody listening to us on Sirius XM Channel 146, thank you as well. and then the various chat rooms out there. How about Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, the National Radio Club, the Fantastic Forum 2, the MySpace groups, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to our final segment here of Open Lines. Let's go to Jerry, truck driving somewhere in Ohio. Hey, Jerry, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, now, Jerry.
You're like me back in the 80s when Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev were having their meetings and stuff like that. One of Gorbachev's entourage made a remark saying that the only reason why they have not invaded the United States because they do not know how many people have guns in their home. And I get tired of hearing about the issue about we need gun control, we need gun control. Well, why did our forefathers put this in the amendment saying this law should not be infringed on? Nowhere else on the amendment says that, but only, you know, on the gun, on the Second Amendment.
They knew, and they were geniuses, that in order for us to have a free government and a free country, Americans needed to be armed to stop tyranny, to be able to step in and say, oh, no, you're not going to take over our country. You're not going to turn us into a communist government. You're not going to be a dictatorship. We're going to take matters into our own hands, and also to form its own militia, its own internal military, to do just what you said, Jerry, and that is to prevent outside influences from trying to come into this country. I mean, every guy and woman who is, you know, got a gun will defend this country if we were invaded by somebody. And it's unfortunate in this situation in San Bernardino, California, with the California strict laws, that nobody there was carrying. Because, you know, I don't know if a handgun's going to beat an assault weapon, but if you're in there and you can sneak around behind them, you might be able to do some damage and avoid what happened.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but anyway, you have a good night, sir.
All right. I will always be a Second Amendment proponent, folks. Always. Guns don't kill. People do. And if people are going to get guns, they're going to get them, whether it's legal or illegal. And you just can't take them out of the hands of the dedicated people who are good Americans, who don't go out and shoot or maim, and they're there to help and defend and protect. And I would rather be with a person who's got a gun that I trust than somebody who isn't, in these kinds of tense situations. Really would. David is in Memphis. Welcome to the program. Hi, David.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, George.
You're very welcome.
Last year, my grandmother got really sick as she turned 92 this past November. And it really hit me hard, her going into the hospital and seeing like that. And then I had a whole bunch of thoughts running through my head, and I'll be honest, some of them were kind of negative. I kind of felt like any grandson will for their grandma, thinking, man, I should be able to do more. And then
I understand
all those negative thoughts just kept going on, and I thinking all the opportunities and chances I had that I kind of passed on or failed at, that I did try taking my own life. I drove I drove to downtown Memphis, stood on one of the boat piers, just looking right in the water, just maybe go for a swim or a float, and I couldn't move. I was right on the edge, just staring in the river. And then there was a bench. I turned around and sat down, and then I just started talking. I was the only person out there. It was about maybe 1:30 in the morning. Traffic is still going on, and I'm just poured my heart out to the sky, God, whoever, you know. And
it was a dark moment for you.
Yeah, it really was. And as I was talking to myself, it turned from the failures to actually the people that in my life that I care about, like my family, my relatives, the lady that I'm trying to, that I like or so, and hope that I have a chance with. And I just kept talking and talking, and was thinking more, not so much about myself, but how, if I did take my own life, how that would affect the people in my life that I do care about, and realize that there are people that care about me that I, at times I feel bad for taking them for granted, and I shouldn't. So I then turned around, got back in my car, and continued on working. I haven't told anybody about this. I didn't call the hotline or mm-hmm. so. I just felt I may be stubborn at times.
And how are you now, David?
My grandma's doing okay. She's my mom. I help her out whenever I can at home. My mom is helping her. I work nights, so I may not always get over there to check on her as much as I want to see how.
Yeah, but you're doing the best you can. And these thoughts of taking your own life, are they gone now?
I really haven't. I mean, at times we have our highs and lows, but I haven't got. I thankfully haven't gotten that low again.
Good.
And
well, David, listen. You're a great listener, and if you're not around to listen, I'm going to be ticked off at you. So don't do that.
Yes, sir. And so I just wanted to say, if anybody else has like kind of their lows in life, just like a good conversation with yourself helps. If there's people that you do care about that you really trust, just talk to them.
You got it.
If you actually trust other people, you know, like talk to somebody who just who cares, and just keep on trying. Because
and anytime you need to call this show, David, anytime, you know you can do that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And thank you, sir. It's always a great show. Wish you a great Christmas
you
and
too.
A new year. And I'll try to call again sometime.
Yeah, you check in with us. I want to make sure you're strong and everything's going great. Let's go to England. Hey, David, I got a couple minutes for you. Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I don't know where to begin, really. There was a lot of different topics there. I think for the guy that was feeling alone, the problem with the sort of negative feelings is that they make you more negative in sort of a paradoxical cycle. Makes you less want to call someone up when you need them because you're feeling so negative. So
mm-hmm.
What you need to do to fix it is the one thing you won't be able to do because you're in that sort of downward spiral. So what I would say is that if something happens like a girlfriend leaves you or something, I would say, right, okay, am I going to recover from this? Yes, probably be in a few days. So in the meanwhile, between now and then, if I am going to recover for it, why don't I just speed that up a bit and not do anything super stupid? And then you'll actually feel like you're saving yourself, you're rescuing yourself, you're actually winning something by actually not letting yourself be stupid in the gap there, you know, like where you go and Facebook her or where you go and punch the wall. Because actually, you know, in a week's time, you're going to be completely fine.
You're going to be better. Or even a month, but you're going to be better.
But you're going to be, yeah, and you can get the drop on the negative then. You can actually beat it. You can feel like, yeah, I'm going to punch a wall because I know I'm going to get better. So that's reassuring. About the chap with the guns and everything, you Americans are so lucky to have Second Amendment rights. You've got rights. It's incredible. I don't know how you managed to wangle that. We don't have rights in England.
No, you don't.
No, we've just got laws, but you've got rights enshrined. It's absolutely amazing. But it must be it's paradoxical again. You think you've got people in black helicopters or something going to come and take your guns away? Let me tell you this, people. It's not us. Me, you, or whoever, you know, as enlightened as you might think we all are, it's not us that generates the future and the great changes. Actually, most of us are pretty lousy. So it's not going to be us that's going to end this sort of gun problems and everything and these terrorism and everything. It's going to be a few people in our society eventually as a system we go forward technologically and we don't go back. Once you've learned something, you can't unlearn it. Once you've stopped crucifying people, you don't start it again. Do you know what I mean?
And that's important, David. It really is. And I want to get this in very quickly. This has been one tense week, and our deepest condolences to the victims and, of course, the family members, obviously, of those 14 people and the others who were shot and wounded. And for those of you who just need a little break, just need to sit back and relax, I want to play this.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them and turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's getting out. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black purse. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman she's hitting him like he's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella. She's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one. It's a little woman. Looks like Mother Goose. She beat him. She's got this U-bid bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. They're still beating the out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black purse is still all pieces of it. okay, he's up on the car. The little woman just beamed him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. The little bitty Mother Goose woman. She's stuck into him as he's driving off. I wish you would have been here, man. This is too good.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.